Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Job, the 38th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 4. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? Or I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band. Prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no farther. And here shall your proud ways be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? Caused the dawn to know its place? That it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep dark? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 10th chapter. We begin reading at verse 5. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your gospel lesson for today, the account of Jesus and Peter walking on water. And in particular, these words. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is our text. You ever have one of those moments where you said to yourself, "What was I thinking?" I get that feeling every time I ride a roller coaster. My first experience doing that was as a fairly young child. I'm not sure exactly how young I was. All I remember is getting off the thing crying crocodile tears and yelling and screaming throughout the entire ride. To this day, as I'm riding up a roller coaster, which I do rather infrequently at this point in my life. But you know that moment where you get to the crest just before you're going to drop down? A lump still arises in my throat. Now I know I'm going to be safe here, but I don't know it here. I've survived every single ride without a scratch. And yet to this day, when all of a sudden I'm looking down, I'm thinking to myself, "What was I thinking?" Now, there are two reasons that they strap you in tightly when you go on those rides. One is just to keep you safe as you are riding, but for myself, it's to make sure that when you reach that crest and you're looking down, you don't try to jump out of the ride. Many of you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And now you also know what Peter felt like. As he stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on water, he'd heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Come." And at first, he knew he would be safe as long as he kept his eyes focused on Jesus. And believing that what he was about to do was not because of his own ability or strength or power or might, but it was because Jesus, his Lord, was going to give him the strength and the ability. Jesus was going to keep him safe. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking at the winds, waves. Instead of thinking what God could do through him, he started to focus on what he could do. And very quickly, at some point in time, he said to himself, "What was I thinking?" Slowly, or maybe not so slowly, he began to sink into the water. You know, we're all a lot like Peter. In the way we conduct our everyday lives, it's not unusual for us on a daily basis to think to ourselves, you know, what am I going to do this day? And to focus on our own strengths and powers and abilities. And then as we get focused on what we can do, all of a sudden something in life slaps us in the face. Fears and worries and doubts arise. We say to ourselves things like, what am I going to do? What was I thinking? This occurs, as I said, in all areas of our human existence. You know, one of the ways it occurs is in the area of our stewardship, the financial resources that God gives to us. A number of years ago, I had one of our members go through the Dave Ramsey course, Financial Peace University. How many of you have heard about that? Just about everybody. When he went into it, he was struggling with his inability to meet his own everyday bills. He was struggling financially with his family. You know, and as he confessed to me later, as he was living out his everyday life, struggling and wondering how he was going to make it to the next paycheck, he shared with me, I was only focused on what I could do with my money. When he finally sat down and really examined, was he using what he had in the best way that God would have him use it? One of the things he found out, and he had a wife and two older children. He was spending $1,400 a month simply on fast food. And if you just went, wow, so did he. It's just that he wasn't thinking about it. Am I using what God has given me in the best way that God wants me to use it? He also admitted to me that before he went through that course, before he started focusing his financial life, not on what he could do with his money, but what God could do with his money through him, his giving completely changed. He went from being what he would call one of the worst of givers to very substantial one, with money left over at the end of the month. He changed his focus in life and the things that he could accomplish, at least in a financial way, to what God could accomplish through him. And he found out that he could do amazing things that he never thought he could do before. There's other ways. That which God can do through us also sometimes becomes something we think is too hard to do. What kind of things does God bid you to do that you find hard in your life? Sometimes I've found out one of the hardest things that Christians are asked to do, at least from their own perspective, is to forgive someone that's hurt them. Deep, sometimes horrific ways. Numerous times throughout my ministry, people have come to me struggling with the Lord's Prayer, "Father, forgive them," or "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Simply saying to me, "Pastor, I'm struggling with that part of the prayer." What we sometimes forget, even when we're worshiping regularly in church, when we're hearing the Word of God on a regular basis, that even when it comes to forgiveness, that really isn't something, in a sense, that we are doing. We start to think that I've been pretty good throughout my life, that I'm living the way God wants me to live, but that person, they don't deserve any forgiveness for what they've done. It's at moments like that that we need to go back to the foot of the cross of Jesus and look up at him when he's dying in agony and ask him this one basic question: Lord, who are you doing this for? And then hear the Lord's answer: I'm doing it for you. Because there's no way that you can be forgiven as you are. There's no way that you can be good enough, strong enough, perfect enough, so that the love of God, which you have spurned by your sins, can be restored unto you. And so what you can't do, I will do for you. We sometimes forget that the forgiveness we have is not something we really could achieve on our own, but only through that blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for you and me. But what he did on that cross was not just for me. The scripture makes it so clear in John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world, God so loved the world, that he gave his only son. There is, in the end, only one forgiveness, one payment for sins. And it wasn't just for you and for me. It was for everyone. And so, in a sense, when we are forgiving someone else, it's not really our forgiveness that we're giving. We're simply sharing that which God gave to us. His forgiveness for the sins of the whole world is the forgiveness that we share with others. So it's really not me doing it. It's Christ who does it for me. And so really the key to living, the key to getting through those tough times in life, is simply to remember what Peter forgot for a moment when he was walking on water. When God bids us to do something, we need to always remember, as we're doing it, that it's not by our strength or our might, not by our wits, not by our abilities, that we do the things God calls upon us to do each and every day of our lives. It is He who not only gives us the command, He who gives us the gifts, the strength to accomplish that which He in love bids us to do. And when we keep our eyes focused on that fact, dear friends, we can even walk on water. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.